Murray Rothbard was one of Ludwig von Mises' most important students. He attended Mises' seminar beginning in 1949, and he was not only a student of Mises, but he was one of the major Austrian economists of the 20th century. I'd like to focus on just a few of his many contributions. In Man, Economy, and State, which came out in 1962, Rothbard, like Mises, developed a deductive science of economics called praxeology. But unlike Mises, he explained the deduction in a slightly different way. Mises, who had been influenced by Immanuel Kant, thought that the reason we could know economic propositions to be true just by thinking about them was that we had certain, what Mises called a priori concepts, something like categories in our mind that would enable us to discern economic propositions, especially the category of action. But Rothbard was a follower of Aristotle and St. Thomas Aquinas in philosophy, and he thought that all concepts were empirical. So in Rothbard's view, what we are doing in praxeology is to grasp necessities in the world. We directly grasp that certain phenomena in the world are necessary. They couldn't be otherwise. So you can see it's a rather different basis for carrying out praxeology than Mises had. They come to very similar conclusions, but it's a different way of looking at knowledge. In economic theory itself, as opposed to the foundations of theory, Rothbard elaborated Austrian economics in a number of fundamental respects. One was, Mises had very famously argued in 1920 and elaborated in his book Socialism 1922, that socialist economy couldn't work because calculation, economic calculation, was impossible in the absence of monetary prices. What Rothbard pointed out was that this problem, namely that in order to have economic calculation, you need a price system, wasn't just confined to socialism. Supposing we could imagine one big firm or cartel developing on the free market, which would be a private firm, not a socialist firm, this too would face the same calculation problem. Rothbard argued that we couldn't have arising in the free market a single firm that could control all production. And because this matter of a single firm being able to calculate wasn't an all or nothing matter. It wasn't that right up until the big firm formed, then firms could calculate perfectly well. And then suddenly, once the one cartel comes about, then you couldn't have any more calculation. Rather, it was a more of a step-by-step process, whereas if firms kept getting larger and larger, they would face what Rothbard called islands of calculational chaos. So they would face increasing difficulties in calculating because there would be no markets by which they would be able to evaluate how much their what their costs were and compare them with the output prices they received. So this process would pose an inherent limit to the size of firms in the free market. And thus we had an argument against those who claim there's an inherent tendency to have monopoly firms on the free market. Now, this raises, this very point about monopoly firms, raises another contribution that Rothbard made to economic theory. In chapter 10 of Man, Economy, and State, he argues that there couldn't be a monopoly price on the free market. We could have monopolies prices in the sense, say, a government said only a certain firm can sell cigars, or only we could only have a certain firm in shipping particular kinds of goods. Then you could have a monopoly price. But there couldn't be a monopoly price in the free market, in his opinion, even if one had only one firm in an industry. Now, why not? Well, he said, according to the standard theory monopoly price, monopoly price arises because if a firm is facing an inelastic demand curve, where if you lower the price, your revenue will go down, then if the firm can prevent the price from going down, it's in a position to maximize revenue. So whereas if you had a lot of firms competing, it would drive the price down. But if the firm can keep the price up, then it can have a monopoly. So Rothbard argued that in a free market, there's no way to tell whether a firm is in this situation, because if someone said, well, if the firm lowered its price, then more people would buy its product. He said, well, that's true, but if it was a competitive price, it would still be the case that if the firm lowered its price below the competitive price, more people would want to buy it. So he said there's no way to distinguish a monopoly price on the free market. You can't say the actual free market price would be the competitive price, and we have this other price, the monopoly price. He said it's no way of figuring that out. So he argued that the notion of a monopoly price has no operational meaning in the free market. Now, another of his many contributions to economic theory was this. Supposing the government decides that it will inflate the currency, or will just have more money. Say the government thinks wages are very rigid, but the union workers won't accept wage cuts. So one way around this, it's kind of a way that the Keynesians favor, is if you have inflation, then the purchasing power money will go down. So we in effect can have the reduction of wages kind of sneak through the back door, as it were. Wages would be lower because real wages would be lower. They wouldn't be purchasing as much, but the workers wouldn't resist this. So you'd be able to solve the problem. Now, as other writers have pointed out, unions are wise to these tactics, and they could insist on escalator clauses to deal with this. But Rothbard generalized this point, and he claimed that for practically any measure of government financial manipulation, people could always counteract it because they'd anticipate what the government would be doing, and then they would just simply act in a way that would counter the effect the government wanted. This theme of that people could respond to the government and counter its policy, making the government's policies ineffective, was one that was later developed by the University of Chicago economist Robert Lucas, and he won a Nobel Prize for his work in this area. But Rothbard, in Man, Economy, and State, anticipated this conclusion, this fundamental point. Now, when we mention monetary theory, I wanted to bring out a fundamental point for Rothbard, which was that for him, money should be taken as a strictly as a commodity. And he was opposed to any sort of fractional reserve banking. And he found in fractional reserve banking one of the main keys to explaining the economic ills of the present time. And in his book, America's Great Depression, he points out against Milton Friedman, who had a book came out in the same year, 1963, as Rothbard did, that the problem in the Depression was not that there was a deflation by the Federal Reserve System. On the contrary, the problem was that in the 20s, the Federal Reserve System had artificially expanded the amount of money in circulation, leading to a boom in the way explained in Austrian business cycle theory. So that for Rothbard, deflation, which is the tendency of prices to fall as production increases, was not something to be feared, but on the contrary, was a desirable development by which the economy, subject to malinvestment in the boom, could correct itself, and that nothing should be done to interfere with this process. Now, the last point I want to make about Rothbard's contributions to economics is found in his, especially in his book, two-volume book, An Austrian Perspective on the History of Economic Thought. And here he showed that the characteristic subjective theory of value of the Austrian school developed by Karl Menger really had precursors in the Middle Ages and later among the Spanish scholastics and among the other economists such as Richard Cantillon in the 18th century and also Turgot in France. And he traced a tradition of subjective theory of value that was really the precursor of Austrian theory of value. And he opposed a counter tradition based on the cost of production or labor theory, starting with Adam Smith and developing through Ricardo, David Ricardo. So for him, Adam Smith was not the founder of economics, but one of its main enemies, at least in economic theory. So though these are only a few of the many contributions of Murray Rothbard to economic theory.
For more content like this, visit Mises.org.